We're going to meditate this morning on that first lesson from Hosea. It's chapter 5, verse 15, and then the first three verses of chapter 6. Then I will go back to my place until they admit their guilt, and they will seek my face. In their misery, they will earnestly seek me. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, grant me the words to speak and grant to your people the ears to hear, the hearts to believe, and the power to do your good and gracious will. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, truly, the best friend. Dear fellow children of the Heavenly Father, I thought it was rather gross when my children came home from Christ Lutheran School and told me what their pastor did in their catechism class. But actually, it was a really good lesson. The pastor would take the students to the cemetery and have them lie in the grass next to a gravestone. And then talk about the fact that we all need to live our life understanding that we will eventually all end up there. Well, God says, remember the Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come. We want to live in the light of eternity because tomorrow might not be on God's calendar. This past week, at our own St. Croix Lutheran High School, West St. Paul, Minnesota, bomb scare. Some of you maybe heard about that, had to evacuate the buildings. But what if, like almost happened to one of the teachers there and his wife last summer in a motorcycle accident. What if one of the children or teachers went home and died in a car crash after the bomb scare? Always be ready. Because the best Christian education teaches us, return to the Lord. Today, return to the Lord, seek his face. Can learn an awful lot from gravestones and cemeteries. Behind Trinity Lutheran Church in Hay Creek, Minnesota, is a cemetery. On one of the gravestones chiseled there is a reference to two verses from our text, Hosea 6, 1 and 2. I had to look it up. But it speaks to our hearts because it tells us today, return to the Lord. It spoke the hopes and dreams of that pioneer woman buried there, what she was living her life, the way she lived it, in view of eternity. Listen just to the verse before those two chiseled on her gravestone. This is the Lord speaking. Then I will go back to my place until they admit their guilt, and they will seek my face in their misery. They will earnestly seek me. You children know how the Lord felt here. If you've ever had a really good friend that came over a lot to your house and you went over to their house and you played with toys together and watched movies together, maybe even slept over each other's house every now and then, what if after all those long time of friendship, your friend started to act strange? Took all your toys and said they were hers, and then started saying bad things about you and about your mom and dad, And then after a while, your mom and dad said, you just can't go play there anymore. So you're at home alone by yourself and you're just wishing she would just come over your house and knock on the door and say, I'm sorry. So you could go back to playing and having fun again. That's how the Lord felt here. As our best friend, the best friend of his people Israel, he gave them this beautiful land called the Promised Land with mountains and rivers and fields and forests, a beautiful land they said was flowing with milk and honey, a picturesque way of saying, wow, what a place to live. And the Lord wanted them to be happy living with him there. But they started to worship other gods instead of the Lord, even disgusting gods like Baal. They wanted to pray to these gods and thank them for their families and their food. The Israelites were taking the toys that the Lord gave them and calling them their own, or saying the Baals gave them all these things, and even worshiping false gods where they would burn their children in the fire. God's people Israel did that. Finally, all the Lord could do was to go away and let them live the way they wanted to without him, so that in their misery, they would turn back to the Lord. We need to learn those hard lessons sometimes too. To have misery in our life and realize what it's like not to have the Lord there. Sometimes we, especially if you've grown up as a Christian all your life and maybe even went to a Lutheran school as a child, you grow up thinking it's just like that for everybody. You maybe don't know what it was like. But I'll tell you what I've found in this congregation, where half of our members are new to the Wisconsin Synod. The people that really support Christian education are the ones that look back in their childhood and say, if only I had known then what I know now. Because, oh, they learned something from their misery, from the heartaches, the things we bring on ourselves. And in their misery, they're so glad to know the Lord now as their best friend. Then I will go to my place until they admit their guilt. They will seek my face, and in their misery, they will earnestly seek me. Even children get very sick. One of the little girls in my wife's daycare had cancer most of the years that we knew her. Yet the Bible tells us you can't say that someone did something specifically wrong to bring that on, like that man born blind in last week's gospel. Jesus said it wasn't him or his parents that sinned. This happened in his life to show the glory of God. But the Bible also tells us there was no sickness or misery or death in this world until Adam and Eve sinned. And the fact that we keep day after day saying things we shouldn't, or failing to say the good words we should. Not just the things we do with our hands, but the good things we fail to do. We give God every reason to turn away from us and leave us in our misery without him too. So that we won't keep this up and keep acting like all the things we have came because of our hard work, our intelligence, our talent, our job, but that we trace it back to the Lord God and give him the glory as our best friend. It is a wonderful way to live, to return to the Lord and seek his face, because he shows us his smiling face in the face of Jesus Christ. When you lie down at night and put your head on your pillow, it's just good to go back over the day and think, Lord, you've been my best friend, but I sure haven't been that way to you. Or anybody else for that matter. I've not been the friend to others or the friend to you that I ought to be. Forgive me, Jesus. Forgive me for my sins. But it's not time yet to close your eyes. Because the Lord doesn't want us to just look back. He wants us to fall asleep in peace and look ahead at what he has done and has promised to do for us. Return to the Lord, seek his face, and he will restore us. Now it's the Lord's people speaking in the two verses chiseled on that pioneer woman's gravestone. These verses that I thought, Hosea, why would she have something from Hosea there? This is a hardcore ancient prophet of the Lord. There's all sorts of law in Hosea. Why would she chisel Hosea 6, 1 and 2 on her gravestone? But it's God's people speaking to each other. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. Sometimes the Lord has to hurt us with his words and tear apart this foolish pride of ours. And so he will purposely withhold from us something we wanted worse than anything else in the world. How many of us boys didn't grow up wishing that we could just be that athlete that could run and jump and play and do all those things, and no matter how hard we tried, it just wasn't us? How many girls and boys just wish they could be liked by the other kids, but they're always arguing, and so do we. So the Lord sometimes will withhold that relationship that we want just in the worst way so that we can finally feel wanted and needed by someone, and the Lord withholds that because he wants to be that one. Married or unmarried, it's true. There's no one else that can fill that empty heart of ours except God. It's a God-shaped vessel in our heart. And if we look for anyone or anything else, he will withhold that, lest we have an idol with a different name than Baal, because he wants to be the one. He alone can give us the life and joy and peace of the mind controlled by the Spirit. So come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces. He will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. One of the most striking examples of Jesus speaking words that would really hurt your feelings are to that woman in Syrophoenicia, where her daughter was very, very sick because she was possessed by a demon. And the woman came to Jesus and begged him for help. Remember what he said? Jesus replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Come, let us return to the Lord with this determination that even when he seems to be turning toward us an angry face, we go back to this blessed gospel of forgiveness and see again the smiling face of God in Jesus Christ. Come, let us return to the Lord. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us that we may live in his presence, or literally in his face. Well, what do you think about when you hear the third day? I do believe if it's chiseled on someone's gravestone that she's probably thinking the same thing. His disciples didn't believe it, though he told them about the third day again and again. In their unbelief, they still ran away from their Lord when he was tortured and crucified and nailed there. The sword pierced the heart of his mother when she saw her son die, knowing that was the Son of God. Figuratively speaking, a sword will pierce your own soul also. But he did it. That outlandish claim that he gave that on the third day he would raise this body again, he did it. As the Almighty Son of God with power over sin, death, and hell. And on the third day he will revive us. Because he said to all of his friends, "Because I live, you also will live." And because he lives, he has the power to give us life. So come, let us return to the Lord. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us that we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. Literally in the Hebrew, it's know him. And he's talking about the intimacy of husband and wife and the knowledge of the soul with God in this knowledge of God as our heavenly bridegroom, Jesus our Savior, and us as the bride of the Lord. That intimate knowledge that he wants us to have with God, let us acknowledge him. Confess him as the giver of all our gifts. Press on to acknowledge him, because as surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. We have so much to look forward to when the Lord comes again and gives us a new heaven and a new earth. All those cemeteries like that one at Hay Creek, emptying out, and those who believe changed in their bodies in the twinkling of an eye to be glorified bodies like Jesus' glorified body. The unbelievers changed in the opposite direction for eternal existence in the torment of hell, because that's what they wanted. God will finally say to them, "Thy will be done." For all who say to God, "Thy will be done," there is salvation, full and free. The time when, better than ever in our youth, in glorified bodies, they will go out and skip like spring calves in that early dew in the pasture. We will dance as if there's no tomorrow. Run and jump and play and sing with our friends forever and ever in the presence of God. You can learn so much from a headstone. The man that wrote Amazing Grace, some of you know his story. Evil man in his youth. Slave trader. Just imagine someone breaking into your house and kidnapping your father and your mother and your brothers and sisters and selling you into slavery to masters that would beat you. That was John Newton before he realized his sin and asked the Lord's forgiveness. And he wanted this stated on his headstone for all to read even to this day. John Newton, clerk or preacher, once an infidel and libertine, that's an unbeliever and one who lives for the freedom of sin. Once an infidel and a libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the gospel which he had long labored to destroy. Come, let us return to the Lord. He will restore us. He will let us see his smiling face. And when you put your head on your pillow at night, you don't just remember your sins, you remember your Savior, his full and free forgiveness, that you can sleep in peace. When I was in about third grade and had trouble falling asleep at night, my dear mother told me to read Psalm 4. Aren't these beautiful words to close your eyes in peace and let the Holy Spirit have control of your mind and your heart? In Psalm 4, "I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." You alone, O Lord. Amen. Please rise.